I grew up in New Bedford, and as you said, because so many members of my family are from Provincetown, some still live there, and in Truro, I would spend many summers there, too. And I grew up with that New Bedford accent, Pach de Can Havid Yat. And I went to school, undergraduate school, in the Midwest, outside of Chicago, at Wheaton College. And there was another fellow in our dorm wing who grew up in Boston. And the two of us, our sweet mates, would, Dan, they would write down things to say. And they would just laugh because it was so funny. Of course, we laughed along with them, but we weren't sure exactly why, because they were the ones with the accent. So I started working at the college radio station. And several people in those days, regional accents were not valued, and everybody tried to have that neutral Midwestern, probably is the closest we could come to a neutral voice. So I started taping everything I did on air and listening to it. It took about 3 weeks before I started actually hearing the accent, and then it took another month or so before I managed to lose most of those really hard adding R's to words, dropping R's off of other words. And so by the time I was on the air at the college station for a year or so, I had pretty much neutralized that Massachusetts accent. Although if I have a beer or two, or if I'm really tired, it does come back. And I still say, I dear, like, Dan, I have a good idea, and I don't understand why people look at me funny.
Well, let me, a few years ago, you recorded something for us, one of our funding credits, and some of that accent came through. Let me play this.
And thank you for your support of WCAI, public radio for Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and the South Coast. This is NPR.
Did you hear that? Martha's Vineyard?
I heard that. See? I'm a homeboy.
Your voice is very recognizable, especially to NPR listeners. You must get recognized a lot, or at least your voice does.
It happens every so often. I'll be in conversation with someone. It might be at a reception or something, occasionally on campus. And I'll get this look. It's kind of a puzzled look, and sometimes they'll mention, oh, have we met before? You look familiar, and they're crossing the visual with the auditory, and then maybe I'll even get, hey, your voice sounds so familiar, and I'll ask them, well, are you a public radio listener? And depending on how they respond, if they say yes and they're enthusiastic, I'll lean towards them and I'll say what a friend of mine once reported as the magic phrase, support for NPR comes from, and it's really, Dan, it still amazes me after all of these years that they'll hear about a half a dozen words and then they make the connection. And if there's a big smile, I'll smile back. And if there's no recognition at all, I'll just change the subject.
I assume you'll be going on to some other voice opportunities?
I can't imagine not having the opportunity to sit in front of a microphone and speak or read. And so the short answer is, yes, I'm certainly hoping so. It's something that's been a part of my life, well, since that freshman college experience, when I discovered how satisfying it really can be to talk to other people that you can't see. I've done other voiceover work. I've been very careful to protect the NPR brand when I've been asked to do other voiceover work, as long as I had been the voice of NPR. I didn't want anything that I did to inadvertently embarrass public radio or NPR or myself. And I realized that, oh, I no longer have that constrictor. I could embarrass myself now anytime I want.
Frank Tavares is a communications professor at Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven, and he's the author of a new book of short stories called The Man Who Built Boxes. Frank, always nice to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dan.